Today is Friday, May 22, 2026. This is your AI briefing for Business Pragmatist. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover Google's Gemini 3.5 flash throughput advantage and what it means for your API economics, Andre Carpathy's move to Anthropic and why it reshapes your vendor selection calculus, Boston Dynamics, Atlas carrying a 100-pound refrigerator and 25,000 units headed to U.S. factory floors, and a World Bank AI architecture delivering a 46% improvement in crisis detection that translates directly to supply chain risk. Sundar Pichai dropped a number at Google I.O. 2026 that should change how your engineering team thinks about model routing. Gemini 3.5 flash benchmarks at approximately 280 tokens per second on artificial analysis. GPT 5.5 and Claude Opus 4.7 are running at 60 to 70 tokens per second. That is roughly a 4-to-1 throughput differential, and in agentic loop architectures where latency compounds across multi-step chains, 4 times faster is not a performance footnote. It is a structural cost advantage. But here is the number that makes this a board-level conversation. Pichai disclosed that enterprises running approximately 1 trillion tokens per day that migrate 80% of workloads to flash can realize over $1 billion in annual savings. Scale that down. If your team is spending $100,000 or more monthly on API calls, a 90-day migration pilot costing roughly $5,000 to $15,000 in parallel testing could return $50,000 to $500,000 annually. The math justifies the experiment. Building on that, Flash is not merely a cost-optimized tier anymore. On Terminal Bench 2.1, Flash scores 76.2% versus Gemini 3.1 Pro's 70.3%. On the GDP Val AA leaderboard, Flash lands at 1,656 ELO against 3.1 Pro's 1,314. Flash outperforms the previous pro-tier model on standard benchmarks. The naive pattern of routing everything to your highest capability model is now actively wasteful. The strategic play for your board is a classifier-gated routing architecture. You classify each incoming workload on 3 axes: reasoning depth on a scale of 1 to 5, output stakes, low, medium, or high, and estimated token budget. Anything with a reasoning depth of 2 or below, non-high-stakes outputs and under 8,000 tokens goes to Flash. High-stakes outputs, legal, financial, medical, route to a premium fallback. Everything else goes to Pro. That routing layer costs roughly 10 to 15% of implementation budget and can halve or better your per-token spend on eligible workloads. The critical failure mode, confirmed across multiple implementation postmortems, is assuming Flash can universally substitute multi-hop reasoning, long context synthesis above roughly 32,000 tokens of effective attention, and high-stakes outputs need to stay on Pro or equivalent. Gate your migration on 30 days of sustained quality parity against a pre-established baseline and permanently route 15% of workload volume to a premium fallback. Do not decommission your existing model access during the transition window. More importantly, understand why Flash's economics will keep improving. Google's TPU-8T delivers nearly 3 times the raw compute of the previous generation, and the TPU-8i achieves up to 2 times better performance per watt. Google's capital expenditure has scaled from $31 billion annually in 2022 to an expected $180 to $190 billion in 2026, a 6 times increase in 4 years. That infrastructure delta is the structural reason Flash's per-token pricing compounds downward faster than GPU-dependent competitors can match. Google is processing 3.2 quadrillion tokens per month, a 7 times year-over-year increase. They are building at a scale that creates durable unit economics advantages. Now, the vendor selection calculus just got more complex in a different direction. Andre Carpathy, one of the most respected researchers in the field, formerly of OpenAI and Tesla, has moved to Anthropic. Combined with Anthropic's documented 0 founder departure retention record and its position at the frontier of enterprise revenue per Matthew Berman's analysis, This reshapes how you should think about multi-year integrations. But here is the architectural tension that landed in sharp relief this week. Bloomberg's Katrina Manson reported at CSIS that Project Maven is under pressure with a six-month deadline to replace its dependency on Claude, a direct consequence of building production workflows tightly coupled to a single lab's API surface. That is not a government-specific problem. That is the enterprise problem. The mitigation is a provider-agnostic abstraction layer that normalizes your interface across vendors. The pattern: one abstract interface, multiple concrete implementations, Anthropic, Gemini, whatever comes next. Injected via configuration, so you swap vendors by changing a single environment variable, not by re-engineering your downstream business logic. That abstraction layer costs 10 to 15% of your implementation budget upfront and eliminates the 3 to 6 month re-engineering window that a forced migration would otherwise consume. If you are building any multi-year agentic integration right now and you have not implemented this pattern, it is the single highest leverage architectural investment you can make this quarter. For greenfield agentic builds, Google's Model Context Protocol, announced at I/O 2026 as a proposed open web standard, is the right default for agent tool connections over proprietary plugin formats. You take a marginal capability haircut today in exchange for 6 to 12 months of avoided migration cost later. Anti-Gravity 2.0, Google's agentic coding environment, demonstrated rebuilding an AlphaZero reinforcement learning pipeline, including self-play training, and a deployable web application from two prompts in a matter of hours. Impressive benchmark. Independent developer adoption is still limited. Treat it as a 90-day evaluation against Cursor and Claude code, not an immediate standardization target. On the physical compute side, Boston Dynamics published a May 2026 technical update that deserves more attention than it is getting in enterprise planning conversations. Atlas carried a 100-plus-pound loaded refrigerator using whole-body proprioceptive control. That means the robot is sensing and adjusting force through its entire body, not just its hands. The training methodology involved domain randomization across weight variance, floor friction, grip conditions, and motor strength variation, running across millions of simulated hours on parallel GPU clusters. The reason the sim-to-real transfer worked, what Boston Dynamics calls a very small sim-to-real gap, comes down to a hardware architecture decision. Eliminate joint crossing cables, standardize actuator types, build symmetric limb geometry. Hardware simplification reduces the degrees of freedom that simulation must cover, which makes large-scale domain randomization tractable. That is a transferable lesson for any team building proprietary robot behavior libraries. The strategic play for your board, Hyundai Motor Group has committed to deploying 25,000-plus Atlas units across U.S. manufacturing facilities beginning 2028. Companies that co-develop proprietary behavior libraries with Boston Dynamics during early deployments will accumulate real-world force and dynamics data that feeds back into simulation fidelity. The source analysis estimates that advantage at 15 to 25% task performance improvement over generic vendor-supplied behaviors after 24 months, based on analogous results from proprietary ML fine-tuning in manufacturing quality control. If you are in manufacturing and your 2028 CapEx planning does not include a robotics integration budget line, you are already behind the planning cycle. The most technically transferable research result this week comes from Philip Zimmer, Zero Hunger AI project lead at World Bank Group Dime AI, presenting at the CSIS AI for Food Security Forum. The validated architecture: ingest 140 million news articles from approximately 100,000 sources across 82 countries, apply domain-specific NLP extraction to convert raw text into structured event signals, then feed those signals as supplementary features into an outbreak forecasting model. Across a 21-country validation study, this produced a 46% improvement in food crisis outbreak detection over conventional indicator models, with a 12-month forward forecast horizon at district-level granularity. The reason this matters beyond food security, the architecture is directly portable to supply chain risk, commodity price forecasting, and geopolitical exposure monitoring. News signal combined with traditional indicators outperforms either alone. This is a supplementary architecture, not a replacement. The South Sudan case is illustrative. Local journalism about crop disease and pest outbreaks surfaced months before geospatial vegetation indices showed deterioration. Structured sensors miss early-stage signals that unstructured text captures. The prerequisites, if you are evaluating whether to build this multilingual NLP covering local language journalism in your target geographies, English-only monitoring missed both the Somalia and South Sudan signals entirely. Domain-specific named entity recognition fine-tuned for your signal taxonomy, and a minimum of 24 months of clean historical ground truth outcome data for backtesting. Zimmer was explicit. Data quality gaps are the consistent failure point across implementations. Without that 24-month backtesting baseline, do not proceed to model development. Budget $300,000 to $1.5 million for a domain-specific deployment leveraged against existing LLM infrastructure. For teams in agribusiness, commodity trading, or development finance, direct partnership via the Google.org AI Collaborative for Food Security is the lowest cost path to accessing the validated methodology without replication cost. One final operational risk worth flagging before we close. Bloomberg's Manson reported at CSIS that the Department of Defense deployed 3 million personnel with AI agent access, while only 26,000, approximately 0.87%, had completed training at time of reporting. AI implementations with under 40% user training completion rates deliver 50 to 70% lower productivity gains versus implementations with above 80% completion. The practical implication: training completion rate should be a hard deployment gate in your CI/CD pipeline. Set the gate at 70% minimum before triggering the production promotion step, and monitor adoption dashboards with automated alerting if the rate falls below 40% within the first 90 days post-deployment. This is a configuration choice, not a cultural initiative. The risk-opportunity pairing to carry out of this briefing: the opportunity is a 4-to-1 throughput advantage on flash that could cut your API economics in half this quarter, with a CapEx trajectory that makes the advantage durable. The risk is the vendor lock-in exposure. Every week you build production agentic workflows without a provider-agnostic abstraction layer is a week you are accumulating migration debt that compounds at 3 to 6 months of engineering time if a forced switch arrives. Those two moves, the flash migration pilot and the abstraction layer, are the highest ROI architectural investments available to your team right now. Thank you for your time today. That is your Business Pragmatist AI briefing for Friday, May 22nd. Stay strategic. I'll see you at the next briefing. That's your TOR brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.